I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. We're going into your Bibles today, Isaiah 55, verse 8, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I've kind of been torn between a few thoughts. This one and another, and they're so similar in their messaging. And I think that's why in the Holy Ghost it's been a little bit of a time of prayer for me to discern exactly the pinpoint direction of what God wants to do. But as your pastor was introducing me, he began to confirm that final direction for me. And so we're going to go this direction. It's almost literally the same messaging. I want to make sure I give what God wants to give. Amen. I'm not here just to check a box. I do feel like I'm here on purpose today. Amen. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it." 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again. Amen. Now, this can be referring to John 3:5, born again experience. But I just love the idea of not just being born again once, but every time I read the word, I'm being reshaped again. I'm being born again every time I read the word and I allow it to get in my heart, because it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word. Somebody say, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word gives birth, but it goes on, and it stays. It lives forever, but it also abides. So it's going on forever, but it's hanging out. It's staying here. And so in response to this text tonight, I want you to receive our title for your consideration: Old Words Never Die. Old Words Never Die. How many could just set your Bible next to your heart if you have it and lift your other hand to heaven, and let's begin to pray together that God would bless this evening, however it comes out. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the opportunity, amen, to lift you up, to magnify your name today. Lord Jesus, you are awesome in this place today. Lord Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Lord, I'm asking you, God, amen, that you would minister to every heart, amen, and mind in this room today. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's give the Lord a magnificent hand clap of praise. Come on, somebody. Act like your health is determined on how you clap. Come on, that's it, Lord. Lord, my praise, my life is dependent on my praise to you today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn to somebody and give them a compliment. Amen. Let them know how good they look. Amen. And if you can't tell somebody how good they look, just say, hey, at least you're looking. Amen. You may be seated today. There are two distinct kinds of words of God in Scripture referenced in the Bible, two kinds of words. There is the one called logos. Somebody say logos. And then the other is called rhema. Somebody say rhema. All right, so logos and rhema. When you're reading your English Bible, they just show up as word in typically. But it's actually, there's at least these two interpretations differentiating what you're reading. Logos usually refers to the overarching written word of God. Amen. What you have in your hand, the Bible, that's logos. While Rhema refers to a specific, personally applied, spoken word from God, often experienced in a present moment, sometimes called the prophetic, or just spoken word of God. John 1 and verse 14, in the beginning was the word. Somebody say word or logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. John 1:14, and the logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the reality is that it's the nature of God's word to manifest itself. So that's what's taking place here. The logos, in the beginning it was, and it was God, and it is God, and it manifests itself. And so we understand that God's word is not just going to, for the incarnation, manifest itself, but God's words, the desire of God's word is to still manifest itself. Amen. And not just in logos, but in rhema. Amen. If you want to understand something today, how many know you have the armor of God? And which one represents the word of God? Of the pieces of the armor, we know it is the sword of the Spirit, but also it's known as the word of God. Amen. And your pastor was quoting that earlier just a few minutes ago. The word, did you know that it is not logos in the Greek there? Is actually rhema. And so if you're going to go to war, amen, yes, get the logos, but put it on your tongue and speak it out. Amen. Rhema. Amen. Rhema is literally usually what, if you don't have a prophetic word to give, don't worry about it. Just put the main word, put the logos on your tongue, the written word on your tongue, speak it out, and rhema, and you're trying to establish an atmosphere when you begin to speak the word of God by using it as a sword, as a weapon, amen, in the atmosphere. How many know we're not fighting against flesh and blood? Amen. We're fighting against a lot of things deeper and more contrasting than that. And somebody, you got to put the word on your tongue. When you get the Holy Ghost, amen, everything that, you don't even have to have the gift of prophecy. Amen. Everything that comes off of your tongue's nearly prophetic anyways. When you get the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is operating in you. And so when you begin to speak, things are already, and whether it's for the bad or for the good or for the detriment, amen, for evil, amen, you can speak curses or blessings. And so you got to, when you get the Holy Ghost, you already been speaking life and death with your tongue before you got the Holy Ghost. But when you get the Holy Ghost, it's really a serious matter. You need to make sure you're not a Balaam. You become an Elijah with your tongue and begin to speak life over circumstances and not death over circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen, because your words are meant to make manifest, manifestation. Amen, the word wants to become flesh. Because God is a man of his word. Amen, he's honest. There's no slack concerning his promises. So when I consider the prophetic, I've come to realize that God's timing for the release of the prophetic is hardly predictable. Isaiah 55 compares what we just read here as our opening text, compares God's word to rain and snow that water the earth, producing seed for sowing and bread for eating. Like the seasons between planting and harvest, God's word sometimes takes time to fulfill. And that timing is rarely on our schedule. God's ways are higher than our ways, isn't it? His methods are unpredictable, but I'm thankful to say, even though his timing is unpredictable, God's character is not. When you can't trace God's hand, you can trust God's heart. Hallelujah. Because his character doesn't change. Amen. Which means his promises, although can be conditional, does not change either. Anybody thankful that you have a God that's faithful in his character today? Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm
thankful that Romans 8:28 declares that all things, someone say all things, works together for the good to them that love God. Amen. Even when his seed is hidden beneath the soil, it's still at work. It's germinating, waiting for its time to bring forth life. And I felt like announcing to this church tonight, amen, you can trust God in this season. The word that birthed this church will be the word that builds this church. Come on, the word that birthed this church, however long it was, Brother Worth, is the word that's still building this church. Amen. We're just going to keep on watering the seed. We're going to keep on fertilizing the seed. We're going to keep on speaking to the seed. Prophetic life establishing the seed. I've come to tell somebody today, you can trust God's hand. You can trust his heart. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated today. The story goes that late in his life, Guglielmo, I think I said his name right, Marconi, amen, the Italian man who invented a technology that was called radio technology. How many's ever used the radio? It's because of Guglio. Thank God for Guglio. Amen. He had an unusual epiphany, though. He became, after he invented that technology, he became convinced that no sound ever dies. No sound truly dies. Marconi theorized that every sound ever made still lingers, endlessly reverberating throughout the universe. He believed that if he could build a receiver powerful enough, he could capture even the most ancient vibrations. His goal was to hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount echoing from the hills of Galilee thousands of years later through a receiver he could invent. Whether this invention, he died before it became possible, but whether this invention was even possible, the idea resonates deeper than we might expect. Since then, science has made things more clear than he had an understanding of back then. But when a sound is made, the air is disturbed. Amen. I love this. Amen. You've heard this before, but I can't help but say it again. The Bible says the devil is the prince of the air. When you begin to speak and shout, the Bible says the louder your volume of your voice is, it shreds the air. Come on, there's value in your shout. Just don't say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, you got to put it out there. You got to tear the devil's kingdom down. That's not my message. That's not my message, but it feels like it should be. Amen. Somebody, you, if the cat got your tongue in church, amen, it's not the church's problem. You got to go ahead and get that cat and say, get that cat away from me. Amen. I've come to lift God up. It's easy to clap, but it's another level to go ahead and lift your voice and praise God. Anybody can clap, but it's another thing when you can lift up your voice, amen, and say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I give myself to you, Jesus. Oh, let's clap our hands. But I wonder if you can lift your voice along with that right now. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 Lord. Come on, I've come to tell somebody, amen, if you want to play patty cake with the devil, you can. But I've come to put the devil in his place. I've come for his atmosphere. I've come to change the atmosphere and give a shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I've come to let all hell know this is not his atmosphere. It's God's atmosphere. I've come to establish God's presence in this place today. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. Amen. This is not in my notes, but let me just dig this out for a second. Did you know that there is only one scripture in the whole Bible that tells you to clap your hands to God as for praise? Clap your hands, all you people, right? That one. Amen. That's the only scripture that tells you to clap your hands. And all of us apostolics and Pentecostals and the Christian world as a whole act like that's the only scripture about praising God. Like it's the one that has the most scriptures backing it up. I've come to tell you, the scriptures that we have the most for praising God is the ones about your tongue. Because out of it flows life and death. Come on, prophecy doesn't work through your hand clap. Prophecy works through your tongue. Amen. Life and death does not work through your hand clap. It works through your tongue. That's why the rest of that scripture that says clap our hands unto God, it also includes clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That tells me what gives me permission to clap my hands is if I put my tongue with it and say, Lord, I'm not just come to clap my hands. I've come to shout with triumph. Triumph is a victory term. I've come to have victory in this atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. Come on, somebody. You got to shred that atmosphere. You got to shred that atmosphere. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mareta yarabahashata. Come on, somebody, you've been holding it back. Now with your tongue, go ahead and clap as loud as you can. Come on, that's it. Now lift your voice with your hand clap. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. My. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's loosening up. I feel like there's a vein opening up in the Holy Ghost in this room. My. Why don't you be seated, but let's just go ahead and lift your hands while you're seated there for a second. Lord, we love you. Lord, we make ourselves receptors. Lord Jesus, to whatever you're trying to do, help us to be conduits for you to flow through in this room. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what we feel in this room. You know, I'm trying to get back on my notes, but I just can't seem to leave this thought behind. Amen. I've studied that scripture that says clap. This is about the only. There's other scriptures that uses the word clap throughout the Old Testament, but they're not. They're usually in reference to nature, clapping the trees together and all that kind of stuff. It's unique. Or armies going face to face and clapping at one another to intimidate one another. That was the only one, though, in Psalms right there that tells us to clap our hands to God in praise. And the word literally means to violently clap. So it's like it's anti-golf. Now, I'm not preaching against golf. I'm not preaching against golf. What I'm trying to say is you can't golf clap your hand. It's like if you're going to do it, you got to. You want to know what scholars say the reason why clapping began as a praise? It was to resemble the sound of their testimony. When the Egyptians let the Israelites go, they clapped their hands to make the sound of when the chains broke. And they were released. That's why they violently clapped their hands. Hallelujah. So the next time, and then that's why we got to lift our voice with it. What gives you permission to clap your hands is in that scripture is that you have your voice with it. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout. And so if you're going to clap your hands, do with all your might, but then you got to add your tongue to it. Why did he say to do that? Because backsliders can clap.
But they have a hard time shouting because that indicates surrender. Come on, hardened hearts can clap, but it's hard for them to shout. We could dig this out. Amen. But I've come to tell you, it's true. Is there anybody in this room today? Amen. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If it's in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. Clapping's just a byproduct. But what comes out of my I wonder if anybody feels what I'm feeling right now. Amen. Somebody, if you're going to go ahead and clap, make it sound like your testimony. It's the chains falling off of my wrist. It's the chains falling off of my ankles. And I've got to shout. I am triumphant. I am triumphant with my voice. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus rescued you from the miry clay. He set your feet on a rock to stay. I didn't come to be quiet. I've come to lift my voice. I've come to say, Lord, you've saved me. And I'm breaking these chains. I'm breaking these chains, Jesus. Come on, take 15 seconds. Let's just glorify God right now. Come on, this is how you overcome the enemy. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you want to have an overcoming experience, you got to use your tongue and say, I'm coming out. I've got a testimony. Hallelujah. 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 How many need the more of the blood of Jesus? How many's got the blood applied to your life? When you were baptized in Jesus' name, you weren't just baptized, but there was something spoken over your life, prophesied over your life. What is one of the patterns and types and foreshadows, amen, of when the blood was applied? It's called the Passover experience. And he would take the blood and apply it to the threshold. The post. Amen. Not the threshold. Because you don't put it under your feet to stomp on it. You put it over your head to cover me, Lord. Amen. Maybe that's what the Bible's talking about when it says don't misuse the blood. And go on in other scriptures, so on and so forth. Amen. But what the hyssop was is you couldn't just dip your finger from the basin where the blood was at of the lamb and put it on by your finger. The Bible said you had to use a thing called hyssop, and you would put it in there, and you use the hyssop to apply it. If you go ahead and find what hyssop, amen, can be a pattern for, it's a pattern for the word. It's a pattern for speech. And so whenever I am overcomer by the blood of the lamb and the work, oh, hallelujah. You want to know how I get the blood involved in other areas of my life? After I've been baptized, I got to speak to it. I've got to use the word of God. I've got to prophesy into the atmosphere. I'm going to get this thing covering my household. I've got to let it cover my home. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I need to hurry. Praise God. I'm having too much fun. Praise the Lord. Man. So, since then, science has made things clear. When a sound is made, the air is disturbed. We just explored that sentence right there. molecules compress and decompress. Our ears perceive that as noise. My watch is letting me know it's too loud in here. I don't care, Apple. I'm shredding the devil's kingdom. And while that disturbance we call a sound wave eventually fades beyond human hearing, the energy behind that sound wave doesn't disappear. Did you know that? According to the first law of thermodynamics, energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed. So when a sound seems to vanish, it has not truly died. It has been absorbed, scattered, diffused, but in some form it still exists. That's just natural sound. Ecclesiastes 3:15 says that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. The past isn't gone. It's just beyond our senses. It's operating in the fifth, sixth dimensions, tied up in eternity. Marconi's idea was that with the right receiver, one might tune into the sonic fossils of history itself, resonances still rippling through the atmospheres. And so I ask you to imagine with me tonight, what if right here in this sanctuary, I won't have time to break this whole message down tonight, it'll take too much time, but what if in this sanctuary tonight we could tap into the soundscape of eternity? What if every sound ever spoken by God in this room is still reverberating like invisible rivers of living resonance? The booming voice of God, Genesis 1:3, let there be light, that it's still existing. Otherwise, the light wouldn't be on. The call to Abraham, get thee out! The thundering law of Sinai, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The still small voice that whispered to Elijah in the cave. The cry from the cross, it is finished. If God would allow our ears to be unlocked to receive them, no doubt we could still hear these things. Because unlike other sounds, his word is not just a sound. His word is supernatural substance. John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's a spirit. Spirits don't die, y'all. It's carrying on and on. And then it says it's life. So it's life-giving. It goes on and on. But it's not death-giving. It's life-giving. This makes sense because Hebrews 1:3 reveals to us that the word that he spoke in Genesis 1 to create everything with is still literally holding the universe together. When it says in Hebrews 1:3 that he is upholding all things by what? By the word of his power. Then Colossians 1:17 doubles down that concept by saying, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word, that Greek word for consist, speaks to adhesive glue. So quite literally, all creation is being held together by the glue of God's word. Consider the smallest building blocks of matter, protons, neutrons, and electrons that together form atoms, which make up all physical things we experience. Even our own bodies are made up of atoms. Sorry, Sister Eves. Scientists have long been fascinated, amen, by that which holds the nucleus of the atom together. Protons, which are positively charged, should repel each other. Yet they are bound tightly within the nucleus by what they call a mysterious energy called quartz. It's a strong force of unexplainable energy at the heart of the atom. And it's keeping all the protons, neutrons, amen, all that together. Through the secular mind, amen, they can describe what is happening at the core of the atom. They cannot explain what it is. Amen. Why this force exists. I've come to tell you, they may not know it, but I know it. Old words never die. Come on. We know it's God's word holding me and you together. It's holding this peace together. It's holding the whole universe together. Come on, anybody with me right now? Amen. Old words never die. It's a life-giving force. The old sound. Amen. You may be seated. The old sound of his word from creation, it's still ongoing. I'm not born anybody, am I? Holding everything together. 1 Peter 1:23 speaks to this saying, being born again. Not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the what? So we're being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Come on, saints, it still works because old words never die. This reality is not just true for the logos, it's true for the rima. Amen. The prophetic unctions that have not yet come to pass in Augusta. Amen. Things that Brother Worth spoke, and things that Brother Cowan's been speaking. Amen. From the inception of this church, however long ago it was that this church began, I don't know, maybe it was 50 some years ago. Amen. Plus, I don't know. But those words are not archived in some box of sound waste, amen, somewhere in eternity, but they're still active, they're still available, and they're still echoing, amen, throughout this atmosphere right now. And tonight I've come to tell this church, I feel like some of those words are not just echoing, but they're pressing into the atmosphere, looking for faith to establish them into your present world. Because old words, I can't predict when they happen, but I know if God gave a promise and I'm willing to meet the conditions, he will establish his word. Because old words never die. Never die. Somebody say it gets better from here. You may be seated. Not me, just the word, okay? Our opening text, Isaiah 55, spoke to the unpredictable timing of God's word coming to pass. Then it says in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The word void, what does that mean? It means ineffective, means empty. It means loss. So this verse is so powerful, Pastor Cowan, because it reveals that not only does God's word never die, but it also shall not return void. There's a difference there. That's a distinction. Amen. That means his word isn't just not dying, but it's coming back to prosper. I'm going to play with y'all's minds. Jesus likes to come back more than just once. If you let his word come, he's going to come and manifest his word again and again and again. Oh my goodness. Whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-toasty, I'm not getting on that train. Amen. I've come to tell somebody today, his word is in this room though. That means his word is not just not dying, it's coming back to prosper God's intentions. The word void is a term we connect with what? A cashier's check that's been made what? Invalid. It doesn't matter if the correct amount is in the box, dollar box. It doesn't matter if the signature is credible. It doesn't matter if the right date is on the top right corner. It doesn't matter if sufficient funds are in the source account. None of those details matter if the word void is stamped on that check because it renders it powerless to fulfill its promise. But I'm thankful to say tonight that if God's word were a check, it would be impossible for God to write void on it because God promised that his word would never return like a bouncing check. We are the only ones. You and me are the only ones that can make God's word ineffective because we're not meeting the conditions. Not him. He's not in the business of canceling his promises. He's not in the business of doing that. Because if God were in the business of voiding his word, then the universe itself would collapse. For in him we live and move and have our being. Someone say void. Can we go a little farther? I don't want to you know, bore you out of your gourd, make you drain, brand to your socks or anything. Any spiritual void. Any spiritual void is something that provokes God to act. At least I like to believe it does. He will go to war to fight spiritual voids. Because void is a partner to what? Darkness. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Barashi bara Elohim et voshamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you break down verse 1 in the Hebrew, it is fascinating. But I don't have time. And the earth was without form and... Oh, some of you guys are picking up what I'm putting down. It's void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, here comes that Rhema establishing logos. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So God is heartbroken when something is lost. Void. When something's empty. Void. When something's ineffective. Shrouded in darkness. So what he does, he likes to plug in his word to fight the places where the void exists. Because God is not a fan of empty expanse. Amen. That's void of his word. So he speaks his word to fill it with light. And once it's sent, it will not return empty. So God sent, amen, praying saints and a man of God and planted them here in Augusta, Kansas many years ago. Why? Because void, I've got to fill the void with my light. I've got to fill the void with my word. I got to get a preacher in Augusta, Kansas to be able to speak to the darkness and speak to the void and fill the atmosphere to push back the darkness. That's why you got to let your preacher, your pastor, to keep on preaching and pastoring. Let him keep on reinforcing the words that have already been spoken. Even Isaiah had to pray a few times to get that cloud the size of a man's hand coming. Amen. Sometimes you got to keep on pushing back, pushing the darkness. Come on. I don't care if it comes off redundant over this pulpit. What he preaches the same thing over and over again, he's trying to push back the darkness to establish the word of God, and it's getting a further foothold in Wichita, Kansas, in Augusta, Kansas. God is pushing back the darkness. Amen. Keep on preaching it to me, preacher, because you're establishing the word of God. Old words never die. No, they don't. But I'm going and reinforcing them with the word of God again and again and again. Let there be light. And there was you in Augusta. You're the light. Why? Because you've got the word. You're a product of the word. You were born again by the word. All right. in Augusta, in Wichita, let there be light. And there was this church. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Did you know that word in the Greek for cannot means it has not the ability to? So, you're a church planted here that shouldn't have the ability to hide. I don't have it. We don't have it in our makeup. We don't have it in our design. We're not wired to hide. If we're hiding, then something's wrong. Our wiring's messed up because we have not the ability to hide the light. Amen. People ought to see. Amen. Coming out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Whose marvelous light? God's marvelous light. What's the light? It's the church. And it's you and me. I've got to establish them. I got to bring them in. This is how we fight the void. I'm going to wrap up in 10 minutes, I promise. You may be seated. God's word is not just not dying. Its power is unmatched. Psalms 29:3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. So here, David, Brother Davy, is comparing the power. Somebody ought to just go ahead and get a little excited before you even hear what I'm about to say. Just say, woo! David is comparing the power of God's voice to a thunderstorm. Okay? Scientists calculate that a typical storm releases around 10 million kilowatt hours of energy, the equivalent of a 20 kiloton nuclear warhead, the size of the bomb that dropped in Nagasaki and Hiroshima in 1945. And yet, I've come to let you guys know, David's analogy of a thunderstorm and our modern comparison to a bomb falls still absurdly short in describing the magnitude of God's power behind his word. Brother Davy, I'm sorry. You are operating with the best analogy you had at hand, but you still missed it by a long shot. Just one word. We're not talking about a sentence from God. We're not talking about the whole canon of God. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Praise God. Because when I pause to consider the vast universe that God spoke into existence. Now, if you're a flat earther, God bless you. We rebuke that spirit. Anyways, but if... Amen. I've got family, and we're still trying to pray him through. Praise the Lord. When I pause to consider the vast universe that God spoke into existence with a single sentence, when did God create the stars and all the other universes? In Genesis 1:16, with just these five words. He made the stars also. My imagination strains to comprehend the power contained in a single utterance of God's word. Here's the deal. There's millions and millions and millions and millions of stars in the, what galaxy are we in? The Milky, the Lucky Charms galaxy. Man, I'm getting hungry thinking about Milky Way stuff here. Milky Way galaxies. There's millions and millions of stars within our neighboring home here called our galaxy of the Milky Way. Tons of stars. Did you know they say there is... So Milky Way galaxy is just one galaxy of many, though. Yeah. Within... Okay, they say there are as many galaxies outside of our galaxy as there are stars within our galaxy.
Think about it.
And how did all that happen? Just by five words. He made the stars also. And you don't think he has the power for your circumstance by giving you one word and you're just like, I know he said it over my life, but I just. Come on, don't jump out of the basement window and end it all today. You got to stand on the word. Come on, my imagination strains to comprehend the power contained in that single utterance. He spoke that line just once, and that was all it took to bring that into existence. Uncountable galaxies and innumerable stars. And astonishingly, I mean, David said it like this, when I consider the, you know, when I consider the stars, and all that thy fingers have made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I've come to tell you, if God is that mindful with just a few five words about all of that, why don't you think he cares about you? Why don't you think he cares about this church? You are the apple of God's eye. His eye is on this place right now, and he has been sharing word after word after word, and he's just looking for somebody to stand on it and begin to put it on your tongue and prophesy it over and over and over. He's not asking you to prophesy something new. Just keep on prophesying something that was already said. Keep on prophesying something that was already said. You've got power on your tongue to establish the word. I'm trying to build the case. You may be seated. Let me play games here. Did you know that the universe, I'm at 49 minutes. I got 5 more minutes. Thank you. And astonishingly, the universe is still expanding. At least they say. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Because words don't die. More stars are being born. Why? Because that one word, or 5 words rather, one phrase from God in Genesis 1 never died, but it's also still ongoing and producing of itself. The word that birthed the universe is the word that's still building the universe. Because not only does it not die, but it's still life-giving. Doesn't matter how long ago it was spoken, His Word is still manifesting itself. Because God's Word doesn't just not die, it's life-giving. So saints, when I consider the compounded accumulation of words from God that's given life to this church, this fact compels me to say, the words that birthed this church is still building this church. Because if I'm taking cues from the universe, it ought to be expanding. It's where our footprint is not getting smaller. Our footprint is getting bigger. I know it may not look like it, but I'm going to re-prophesy some things to you. You're not planted here by accident. You were planted here by the Word of God. God sent that man here. God sent this man here. Amen. And God sent you here. Let's expand what God already said. Come on, the potential of this church has not been dead. The church hasn't exhausted the potential of God's word. You're not capped on the word that birthed this church. What could stop us from believing the power behind any word He's ever given to this church? Maybe seated. I'm almost done. Somebody looked to your neighbor and said, even Paul said finally 3 times in the book of Philippians. That means he tried to close 3 times in the book of Philippians. And then I consider that the power of God's word spoken to creation, another thing. Somebody say the black hole. Anybody ever heard of that? I'm not referring to your trash can, okay? A nuclear bomb is catastrophic on a human scale. A black hole is catastrophic on a cosmic scale. Scientists say that a black hole could swallow not just one Earth, but millions of Earths in a matter of seconds if it got close enough. Recently, I noticed in the news where 2 black holes actually collided. 2 of them collided. I think it was actually 2015. When 2 black holes collide, you get one of the most violent, mind-bending events in the universe. It's called a black hole merger. They say that the gravitational waves from such a collision are so strong, they travel across the universe, warping space and time itself. Now, I don't have time to break down all that stuff. That's crazy stuff. You need to look it up on your own. But this is more powerful than any explosion in the universe, releasing more energy in a fraction of a second than all the stars and all the galaxies combined produce at the same time. That was a very crazy statement I just made. Let me say it again for kicks and giggles. This is more powerful than any explosion in the universe. It releases, a black hole merger releases more energy in a fraction of a second than all the stars in all the galaxies combined produce at the same time. That's crazy. Just for the sake of comparison, somebody say, I'm still with you. A black hole merger releases about 6,400 octillion times more energy. Just for comparison's sake, remember that nuclear warhead we're talking about earlier? About how Davy missed it and how comparison it does to God's word? This is how off he was. Sorry, Brother David. He was off by 6,400,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, nuclear warhead. That's a nanillion. Not a million, not a billion, not a trillion, not a quadrillion, not a quintillion, not a sextillion, not a septillion, not an octillion. It's a nanillion. I've never used the word nanillion before this message. I didn't even know it existed. An absolutely massive number. If you've counted one number, here it is. If you counted one number per second up to a nanillion, you'd be counting for 31.7 billion years just to reach a trillion. Brother David, I hear you. You have shown us the power of God's voice by comparing it to a storm on earth. That's a strong image, and he was working with what he had. But let me tell you something even bigger, Brother David. God's voice is more powerful than the merger of two black holes. Why? Because it created a black hole. God's word is greater than a 6.4 nanillion force of galactic energy, a cosmic hurricane shaking the galaxies. Amen. God's word isn't just greater than that. It actually created that and sustains it every second it exists. And we want to think that God's word has lost its momentum because it was spoken 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. The word that birthed this church is the word that's building this church. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Let's lift our hands. I'm almost done. My. Come on. I've got one more phrase, amen, one more instruction that I want to give us for a second. Amen, but if you can come up front, if you could. I'm not going to wear you all out anymore tonight. Amen, I'm wrapping up. But if you can grab your neighbor by the hand, if it's appropriate, come up front. We're going to practice something. Is this okay, Pastor Cowan? He's going to fix everything after I get done. Praise the Lord. Now grab somebody. You want to know something more powerful than when two black hole mergers collide? You want to know something more powerful than when two black hole mergers collide? It's when two worshipers merge. Because a black hole only affects the physical. It only affects the physical universe. But worshipers can affect the physical and the eternal. What are you talking about? Matthew 18 says, when worshipers join their voices in their agreement with the word, that word becomes established. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Come on. And whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be, bound in heaven. I've come to tell you, I wonder if we can go ahead and merge together and begin to proclaim the promises of God over this church. Go, go, go. Proclaim the promises because those old words have never died. I'm going to stand on them with my brother and sister. We agree right now. We agree. We're having revival. We are expanding our footprint. We are in transition. God is doing something. God is operating. He is helping this church. Come on, we come to reinforce it. We come to reestablish it. Right now. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, when two or three believers agree, heaven moves, chains break, atmosphere shift. Come on, earth has to respond to heaven. Heaven is responding to earth. Yekoro da bokosati ara da 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 da
I've come to re-prophesy. I've come to re-prophesy what has been prophesied. I've come to re-speak what has already been spoken. I've come to establish the word of God.
Go. Come on, worshipers. I'm colliding with you because I'm more powerful together than we are apart. We're more powerful together than we are apart.
That's it. Come on, Lord. I begin to speak promises. Your promises are operating. That's it. Go. That's it. Lord, right now. Come on, somebody, God's given you a promise. You need to stand on that word. Come on, God's given you a promise. You need to reestablish it, reprophesy it. Establish the word with your brother. Establish the word.